going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yes, there we go. It's hour one of the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. And hey, there's Brian with his Stella Artois hat on over there. He's drafted him up. Great job over the weekend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Bobby Belt, Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Kyle Yeomans, Vach Lombardi, Tommy Yarish. Who else? Am I forgetting anybody?
I think you got get Kyle Yeomans in there.
I think you got them all.
Did you get Yeomans?
It was a great job.
Yeah. Taints.
Lucius Alexander was in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 4.5 today. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6:30. Going to take on the A's. Wolchuk and Schiafalo are in the house. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It seems like there's been a storm that's been about to break out for about 3 days now.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, look out. In about 45 minutes, a flood's coming. Not yet, but it is. It is. What is it now? I don't know. Maybe Wednesday? But this is like the longest buildup to a storm I've ever seen, Brian. I just got to tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really helped him out there.
No, yeah. Wait. I mean, I was trying to think.
You get him, Dawson.
You know what, Dawson? I was back there when Noah and the Ark were getting ready to go.
I believe it.
And I'll tell you what, the clouds look very similar. Noah looked up into the sky and said, boy, we're about to have some rain here. I agreed.
There you go. There you go, Brian. That's the kind of analysis that I know you and love you for.
So Broaddus was just thinking about who had the best draft in the NFC East.
I was just sitting there thinking about, I looked at 235 players.
Yeah.
And I had about 20 of them that didn't get drafted.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was annoying.
So I spent basically, if you take it, like an hour and a half a player.
See,
there were 20 guys that I looked at.
That's why Bobby Belt has the right idea. After the third round,
just quit.
I'll just Google it.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got let me know who they razor blades, boys. Can't make it in today.
What was it? Could you read the text? Could you read the punt on day three text from Bobby? Did it involve pooing razor blades? Is that what
I
he
made
alleged?
That part of it up? But it, oh, okay. Something very heard, similar.
He said let something about razor blades and his spleen this morning.
Yeah,
I believe.
He did. He said he was basically like he was pooping razor blades.
He's got a fatty liver.
Is what he was saying. Wow. And I, you know, I'm like, well, I hope you feel better.
I was just glad that he
sounded like a terrible condition to have, you know?
Yeah, quit before it started instead of like during the fifth round this year and then just doesn't speak the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Well, you guys definitely had enough that you could afford to lose one or, I mean, half of you guys could have taken off. I would have gone like hour by hour.
Day three would have been a nice day to rotate. The first 2 days, I mean, I was so ticked off. Now I'm catching myself arguing with Brian about Jalen Milroe getting taken in the third round. And honestly, I didn't even care.
Got a little punchy.
I was just angry.
Yeah, we might have to relive that. Why'd you get angry? What happened?
I mean, I missed the Cowboys' first round pick and second round pick. I'm not even in the room. It's like you're putting in so much time and effort into this and to not even be there for it. I mean, we got a great crew.
We rotate the thing.
We just rotate. So, like, it was, I mean, there were moments of it
my
where
best
it was,
player was
kind of helpful.
My best player with Ravel was, He got drafted, and
yeah,
I wasn't
you weren't
room.
In there.
It happens. It just happens that way. I mean, yeah. You know, you've got the number of people we have, and you just rotate them through, and everybody gets an opportunity, and sometimes you hit it right, and sometimes you don't.
You let it jam you up that much that you were back on and you were still...
He did.
No, I mean, there's other stuff going on, personal things.
Okay,
all right. But then I'm catching Trace.
Razor blades?
It's rarely the thing, right? It's usually something else.
It's usually other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're catching strays for stuff you're not even responsible for.
I made you mad because of the whole thing with the quarterback. Is that what happened?
No, that was it was just layered. It was just layered things. And then now I'm like, you know what? F this.
Listen, this is
did
what,
you really get that mad about that?
I wasn't that mad. I was just irritated.
What is this, year three for you?
Yeah, and honestly, it's gotten better every year. I thought this year the Cowboys probably had the best draft of the 3 years. And we probably had
the
most
coverage
fun
was
doing
great.
It.
I was kind of disappointed there wasn't a bigger blow up. Like you and brought us over Milrow was the biggest thing I think we got.
Yeah, I don't think
in terms
we really,
of blow ups.
I think we were pretty good for the most part.
There was some high level comedic entertainment weaved in and out. I believe the New Orleans Saints became for a brief moment the New Orleans Taints, incidentally. And then, of course, we had the Haka situation.
The Haka situation
was funny. I
would
defend Wolchuk to the grave on that one.
I will say this, Nick Harris not paying attention to what was being said. I think Wolchuk gave a really, like in the seventh round, he perfectly nailed this player. And then Nick Harris goes, he read exactly, he went almost word for word what Wolchuk said about the player.
It was great.
And I looked at him like, he looked at me and goes, what's wrong? And I go, did you hear what he just said? You know, he goes,
we've all been there.
No.
I was reviewing my notes.
Yeah, no, he really wasn't. He was doing something else. And so it was kind of like we went to him thinking he had to talk about the player where Wolchuk had perfectly nailed the player. And then Nick goes into the, well, you know, he's from Oregon. And I looked at him like, you didn't listen to what he just said, did you?
That's the hardest part about this job is the listening portion.
Yes.
And that's a total of like, what, 13 hours? Over the course of
day
and a half?
Yeah, we were, what was it total? I think it was 18 hours total.
Yeah, because I mean, what, day three is 8 hours by itself.
Yeah.
I will say the first hour of day three, though, is I think some of the best we get, period, on the station.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, and Roxy does an excellent job. The Cowboys giving us the benefit of like getting scouts
Roxanne
in.
Roxanne Medina, yeah.
Getting to talk with like Ross Winchy, some of the other scouts, and then Aaron Whitecott, the D-line coach, Coach Riley, the offensive line coach, Clayton Adams, the new offensive coordinator. It was awesome. I mean, we're able to really get some good information from those guys right before the draft ends up kicking off.
Yeah, Aaron Bo Tolliver. Tolliver.
Tolliver, East Coast the area scouts as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Whitecott, the draft had even started already for day three. Yeah. He was like, no, I really want to come do it. So it was awesome. That was some good insight and information there.
Well, we got Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. We got the C Note at 3:20. Best of the Weekend coming up at 2:40. And, you know, we'll have Chris Young on coming up at 4:20. A lot of chances here to talk about these players. You know, I think, Brian, what you said Friday about their first-round pick was in my mind all weekend. And I was looking for, like, answers to the questions. At 12, you take a lineman that had such a low athletic score, right? Sure. Now, you see his college production and his size, and you're like, wow, this is a big guy who played at Bama, and you couldn't get sacks on him. He was making a lot of successful plays. Mm-hmm. But, like, how do the Cowboys see him being able to overcome that at the pro level? And how did they ultimately decide that that was the best thing they could do with the 12th overall pick? You know, considering his athleticism was so much lower than just about every other player they've taken in the first round. I mean, this isn't quite taco level, but it's not far off.
Well, this, you know, it's exactly what you said. It's the number of games he's played at Alabama. It's the high level he's played at Alabama. It's the production of actually the game tape that they're watching of the guy. And you know, they're watching him go against SEC competition, block those guys. You know, we had a chance to talk with like Zach was talking about the coordinator and the line coach, and we've made a lot of we've had a lot of discussions about scheme, you know, pin and pull and all that stuff. And you know, Clayton Adams, the OC, was saying, listen, we're not going to do things that these guys can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to sit there and ask somebody to reach block if he can't reach block. I'm not going to ask somebody to pull if he can't pull. I think there's enough tape of him of pulling and playing in space and connecting with his guys. There's some guys you watch in this draft that can't do that. And this guy at that size can do that. Is it the number one thing? No. The number one thing is his ability to move people at the point of attack, when he can combo block, when he can reach block, scoop block, those one-on-one blocks. Those are the things that he can do. And I don't think that, like I say, they're going to ask. Just listen to the coaches talk. They're not going to ask these guys to do things they can't do. And I think that's how you work around if you feel like that maybe his athletic score might be a little low. But the fact that he handled, like, you watch these games and he's one-on-one with these big one techniques, these quick three techniques, and they're not getting past him. And, you know, he's sitting down on these guys and, you know, giving Milroe clean pocket to throw. So I think that's what they really are looking for.
The clean pocket?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what they're looking forward to. This is not a, like I say, there are other guards in this class that could be more, that are more athletic. But this one, I would venture to say you don't have as many that have the power that this guy plays.
No question. He is strong. I mean, when we had him on Friday, and Eric, you were asking about like the trash talk, and he referenced a play against LSU. Vach Lombardi actually went and pulled the play, and he is getting out in space and putting an LSU Tiger defender on his butt. So you see him do it, but I did think it was, and it's kind of refreshing to hear that from a coach, because oftentimes we talk and it's like coaches are kind of set in their ways and they're going to stick to
my scheme. Yeah. And if they can't do my scheme, we're not going to do it. Exactly. You know, I mean, we're going to do it regardless of what, you know. They're trying to fit things that match their players.
Yeah, and Clayton Adams had a reference point, too, of like, I think it was when he was with the Colts or with the Cardinals, where he said they were trying to do something one way, but the linemen, it didn't really work for them. Colts. It was with the Colts, so they pivoted to a different way of going about it from a rushing attack standpoint. And so there's proof in the pudding of he's capable of this.
Love the adaptability. Okay, there's a little abroadus there on Booker. I can't wait to get your thoughts on the edge from Boston College in round two, Ezeraku, Siobhan Revelle in the third round. That one was exciting. Jaden Blue, the running back from Texas. I love some of the big plays that he made in the passing game, especially in the playoffs. Can we get just a minute on him? Do you expect him to be like running back one for the Cowboys, or how would you stack this room right now, Brian?
I would say that they're probably looking at Williams as being the number one back just because of the veteran things. And just,
that hurts. That hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
It's OTAs and mini camps. Yeah. They're not going to sit there and throw Blue right in the middle of all that.
Oh,
right
you on. Just mean in the springtime.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'll figure out a way as you get through training camp and all that. Me personally, like, this would have been the perfect guy to pair with Rico Dowdle if it was me. It would have been perfect to pair with Allen, I think, from Syracuse. We'll see with Maffa and those guys and how he really works. But, you know, at 5'9", 196 pounds, this guy's not a small guy. You know, I mean, his ability to get to the edge, his ability to get outside, his ability to make people miss in the backfield and then get positive yards, the way he catches the football. I know there was some talk about maybe some of the drops and stuff that he had, but you can watch the Arizona State game. You can watch the Ohio State game, where they put him out and out to run routes, and he's getting by people, throwing the ball in the flat. I just feel like, though, that they're going to try and work him in as much as they can. And if he, in fact, says he can handle the workload, then I could see him being the full-time guy here. And if they have to, you know, maybe find ways to supplement behind him. But he's not a small guy. And his explosiveness, his quickness, you know, the only thing that real question about him is the ball security stuff.
Yeah. The fumbles, man.
Yeah, if he gets past that, then this guy can be an every down back.
Ball security's big.
Now, what'd you say on Maffa? Do you think he's in play at all, or is he just like big run into you guy?
I think he's right now, like you say, when I sat down and watched him play, I thought of a straight ahead power type of a player. Nothing really fancy about his game. There are a lot of times where Clemson did a really good job of opening up some holes in front of him, and he was able to take advantage of that. He is going to get north-south in a hurry, but there's not a lot of movement or shiftiness to his game. He can get fetched. He did have a couple of 30-yard runs where you're like, that ended up in being a touchdown. But his speed is not great, but his power and his ability to run over people is. And I can see why they did that.
We could use some of Miro Haskinen's speed and power in the game tonight, but it's not going to be there as Dallas Stars getting set to host the Avalanche here in what would be a pivotal game five. But we're hearing Miro's not going to play in this. So do you think this was a smokescreen, him being on the road trip? You see this in hockey quite a bit where they're talking about maybe a guy's coming back and he was never going to.
Maybe. There might have been some mind games there. Maybe they also just wanted to keep him like working with the team, I suppose, because he was alternating with the top power play line. So to keep him progressing forward, maybe that was the best case. And they could have been hopeful. Like he was ready to go and he's just not yet and they don't want to push it. Pete DeBoer did make the comment. I don't think any of our big guys have delivered yet this series, but the beauty of it is the time's now. And I think those guys are all due. And I think he's absolutely right. When you look at, you know, Amiko Rantanen, Matt Duchene, Mason Marchment, you know, some of these guys that have had big moments in the postseason throughout their careers, now you're five games into the series. This is when you need those guys to really step up for you. Like Sagan delivered with that overtime goal. You got an amazing moment from Colin Blackwell. But you need your big dogs to really step up. Roope Hintz. You know, tonight's the night that you need to deliver yourself with a big power play goal, whatever it is, you know, a breakaway moment, Wyatt Johnston. These are the guys that need to step up and deliver in a game five. So hopefully they're able to do it. But I am bummed. I really was expecting Miro to be back here, and unfortunately he's not.
You know, you're hoping to get an emotional boost from having him. Maybe you get an emotional boost from not having him. Definitely in that locker room. You know, everybody's got to be thinking this is a big opportunity to step up. You know, I do feel like in these games, you're looking to your guys, but so much of great hockey or great soccer is from great players on the back line that are able to shut things down, and they're clean enough and aware enough to take advantage in that split second that the moment is there where the pass has got to go in. And, you know, I don't think their forwards are getting great opportunities because the playmaking isn't quite there behind them. And at this level... you know, salute to their netminder who's playing well. Hadn't started a playoff game up until this moment, but 24 saves and a shutout on Saturday. That was, you know, tough to watch at times. But, you know, I just start to get the feeling as this could be slipping through your fingers if they don't win tonight that maybe, you know, being up 2-1 was really fortunate. And the vastly better team, at least without Miro and Robertson, was just waking up. Right. And now going into game five tonight, it's the truth serum game. Right, Chief, where you're going to find out.
That's right. Yeah, this is as close to all the marbles as it gets here, because God help you if you lose tonight and have to go back to Colorado. I don't imagine that team losing that game. So, yeah, this is absolutely the ultimate truth serum right now. You got to step up. And these guys have been super gutsy. As soon as you thought they were just done for, boom, they hit you with the game and they say, no, we're here to stay.
Yeah. Okay, and then, you know, we're no longer the home of the first-place Texas Rangers, okay? We are your home of the second-place Texas Rangers as the Seattle Mariners. After another lost series, this was tough as they embarrassed themselves yesterday. At least they didn't get swept, okay? Not getting swept, I think, is good, right? That's more than a silver lining. But basically, they gave the Giants a little bit of a Little League home run there. A swing and bunt, error at first, error at third, score the game-winning run there in the ninth.
It was bad, dude.
We were watching in real time. I'm surprised Mike Bassick didn't cuss on the air. This was like one of those first moments where I was like, we were applauding Mike in the studio when we were doing BetMGM yesterday because he was able to keep his cool.
Yeah. I can't imagine the frustration that must be going through everybody's minds over there as you lose one like that. You score two runs in every single one of those games. Now you're 28 games in, guys. I think we got to have some honest conversations throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to call it bad offense?
You've scored the least amount of runs of anybody in Major League Baseball.
Sounds like Brian's there. It is just 28 games. Do they need another month? I don't think so. Not after last year. I mean, what effectively did they do? They added Jock Peterson. It's nice he's getting on base. You added Jake Berger, right? You lost Evan Carter. I think they need center fielder, first baseman, second baseman that hits bombs, like 35, 40 of them. Yeah. We need to go get a $35 million player and throw him onto this roster if you want to have a chance of having a good offense. That's where I'm at mentally right now. Well, Chuck, am I panicking? You'll tell me a little bit later on in the show. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 5:30. It's new time. Woolchuck's top 10 at 2:20 is next, buddy. Where are we going with it?
Well, it's National Superhero Day. We've got the top 10 most popular superheroes in all of the world right now. Who's your favorite superhero? And it can be a mom or a dad if you want to give them some love. 877-881-1053. And the Delaney Walker Crystal.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start?
Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ball. Yeah, buddy, here we go. We're back. It's time for Woolchuk's Top 10 at 220. This segment of the nation brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Happy National Superhero Day, 877-881-1053. Who do you think is the greatest superhero of all time? We've got the top 10 most popular in the world right now. We'll get to that in just a moment. The story of draft weekend, though, certainly was the slide of one Shador Sanders. And I was stunned that it took until the fifth round for him to be selected. I did have him as the 30th best player in my stack. I know, Brian, you had him pretty high as 20. Well. I thought, second round, okay.
Sure.
Somebody's going to take him. Mm-hmm. Then third round, okay. Then we got reports, well, some teams have got him completely off the board.
Yeah.
Excellent reporting by CBS Sports as well. Jonathan Jones, who had this to say about maybe why Shador fell a little bit. He said, quote, at some of those combine meetings with certain teams that maybe Shador didn't really want to go to, didn't see himself going to for any number of reasons. Maybe they had a starting quarterback already there. I was told that he more or less sandbagged in those interviews. I don't know if he didn't take them seriously, but he did not give it his all in some of those interviews. Rubbed some teams the wrong way. Like we had heard Kevin O'Connell was one of the guys, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, goes to meet him, shakes his hand, and Shador just kind of blew him off and said, you've got a quarterback. Like, I'm not going to talk to you. Can kind of understand the thinking in a sense, but even Shador has noted, like, I'd probably go about and handle that a little bit differently. Either way, still was stunned that it took that long for him to get drafted. And then you saw quarterbacks coming off the board like Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon, who he's now teammates with.
Teammate.
Browns took him in the third round. I'm like, no disrespect to Dylan Gabriel, but I think Shador was way better of a quarterback prospect personally than what Dylan Gabriel was. So you also had Quinn Ewers, I mean, slide into the seventh round when the Miami Dolphins took him. And he cost himself a ton of money. Did Quinn Ewers. I mean, that guy, I think it was like $7 million if he had stayed in school with what he was looking at by possible NIL money if he had to just hit the transfer portal. And instead, you know, he ends up going in the seventh round. And look, good value for Miami. And he might have a chance to play because, unfortunately, Tua does struggle to stay healthy.
Well, that's also assuming that Zach Wilson doesn't come to play this year, boys and girls.
We're in that number zero.
Number zero. Is so weird for a quarterback.
Very strange.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback wear number zero, but that's what Zach Wilson is going to be doing in Miami as the backup. But the Shador stuff has to be, I mean, Broadus, you would know better than the rest of us, the craziest draft story you've ever seen, right?
My only experience of pre-draft major quarterback discussions, and this is why you can say what you want about Michael Vick, but in 2001, we didn't have a first-round pick with the Cowboys. And Michael Vick sat with us and met with us at the Combine. And we didn't have a first-round pick. We were scheduling interviews. We just wanted to get to know the guy and see what, you know, see if there, as we evaluated him, we just wanted the full picture. Michael Vick, we had no first-round pick. He did not come in and tank the interview. He put his best foot forward, looked everybody in the eye, did everything he had to do. But deep down inside, he knows there's no way in hell you don't have a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But he sat there with us and answered our questions for about, you know, 20 minutes. And then he moved on. And we all had a better feeling about Michael Vick. You know, maybe there's some things that we can learn from this, you know, if you're quarterbacks. Maybe some agents and stuff need to kind of tell their clients, hey, these interviews are important. Man, this is the first opportunity these coaches have to put you on a board and talk to you and get a feel if you can diagram a play or talk about, walk through what, you know, checks you need to make here. These things are important. I think this is what got him. I think the interviews really, really, really hurt him. And it gets around the league when a guy interviews somewhere and then it goes poorly. He's calling his buddies and he's talking about it in a way of like, man, did you get a chance to talk to the Sanders kid? Oh my God, can you believe what, you know, that kind of stuff gets around. And maybe if you didn't even interview him, you're telling your buddies like, man, I heard this. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, we love to spread rumors, love to talk about things. But I think the interview part of it, the film is good enough to get drafted. The problem is that the interview process of it went very, very poorly for him, and I think that turned off a lot of teams.
Well, one person who projected this back in January, former tight end Delanie Walker. Had the crystal ball working here, and he jumped on Bussin' with the Boys and actually had a bet with Will Compton. Now, this is from their podcast back in January, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton, and Delanie Walker, and this is how that conversation went.
Hey, before we get going, you got to hear this bet.
Yeah.
So I come in, and he's just talking nonsense.
Always.
Shadur Sanders not going to get drafted in the first round because he probably saw a tweet that said a couple scouts doesn't have him as a first-round grade.
That sounds like Delanie.
And I graded him.
Our bet, $1,000, you graded him. What do you know about quarterback? $1,000 bet.
This dude.
$1,000 bet that he goes in the top two rounds. If he goes beyond that, Delanie wins.
What you think of that bet?
I think you're going to lose $1,000.
You crazy.
He said Shadur is going to slip to the fifth round. Mark my words.
But this is an offensive line draft this year. A lot of O-line going to go. That's going to push a lot.
Offensive line draft every year, bro.
Nah, he's not going in
a good quarterback.
He's not going in the first round.
Give him a chance to get the bet back.
I ain't taking it back.
No.
I ain't taking it back.
We shook. He was so confident we shook twice on that bet.
Twice. He not going in the first round.
That is wild. That's like pre-combine.
Yeah.
January, Delanie Walker, he's going to go in the fifth round.
Get this guy in the front office somewhere.
My gosh. I mean, look, I know Mel Kiper was not happy with this. We can go over Mel calling out the league, which I did think was funny, but then when you look at Mel's track record, Mel.
Right.
Come on, Mel.
Nobody knows how to evaluate quarterbacks.
It's a crapshoot when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. But
I mean, it's an okay take if you want to have it. He just lost like the rules of decorum and professionalism that are supposed to happen up there.
Yeah. He was so embarrassed. Yeah. He was so embarrassed by his own grade of the player. And you're going into the fifth round with a guy who's been your top rated player since night one. He was starting to lash out because his own grade had this dude way higher.
And then he got stuck in there and couldn't see the truth for what it was. I think only Nico Harris from the sports world can relate to that at this point.
Yeah, you know, this is the huge disadvantage that media scouts do have is you don't get to interview the players.
Totally.
You don't I mean, you could watch his tape and watch him roll to his left and open his hips and square his shoulders up and make some incredible throws. You can watch him make legitimate NFL throws. And you could see accuracy. You could see toughness. You could see poise when he's just getting crushed. You could watch the Nebraska game, and they did not block one play for him and just kept getting up, getting up, getting up, and trying to make plays. That part of my respect for him. But
Tough as hell.
The interview part of it does matter. When you turn these people off, that's hard. That's a very hard thing to deal with.
I think he maybe had the confidence of his dad, who the legend goes just showed up, ran a 40 in his businessman shoes and hopped back in the limo and left.
No. His dad was incredible.
You know, maybe he wanted to be like dad in that way. But I'll tell you what, he handled it so well. And the celebration they had when they drafted, maybe it just wasn't all that important to him that he made a great impression. You know, maybe he made a giant mistake that the film should tell you everything about me and I don't have to like respect this process of the interview. But I think there's a decent chance that, you know, he's going to go there and be competitive.
He absolutely will be.
Oh, no question. He might play this year.
Yeah. He has got that kind of ability where he could show up, and he is everywhere that he has ever won or been, he's won. And, you know, Colorado was a horrible program before he and his dad got there.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know what it's like for a couple days for nothing to be able to bother you to that extent. Like, it's raining crap on your NFL draft party.
You're getting pranked.
And you're just like, hey, life is so great.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed.
I'm going
with
to
that.
The NFL, guys.
Yeah. Still, hey, I'm still going to have an opportunity, no doubt. All right. I do need to get to this top 10. We can talk about this a little bit later. There is building team interest per our buddy Nick Harris in bringing free agent Amari Cooper back.
There we go.
They need a wide receiver, too. Maybe that works out. We'll talk about that more later. Okay, top 10 most popular superheroes in the world. Who is your favorite superhero? Got some text. Batman from our guy Woody. My late father was the greatest superhero from the 214. Tony Romo getting a vote from the 512. Thor is the best superhero, hands down. From the 817.
Tony Romo might be the worst superhero because he teases you into thinking you're about to be saved, and then right there at the end when it really push comes to shove, all of a sudden you go cold.
Yeah. Three straight chances to win.
Like, dang, he did some badass stuff this whole night where we were running from these criminals and he was saving me, just making legendary plays, and then right there at the end, boom, I died.
he picks up a boulder to crush the bad guy and accidentally throws it on an apartment building. You know?
Terrible. Number 10, we've got the Green Lantern as the most popular superhero.
What'd this guy do?
That's crazy.
I don't even know what his superpower is. I don't know anything about him.
He's got the ring.
That seems like an old school one.
It is. I mean, that's an old school DC superhero. But Intergalactic Green Lantern Corps, he ends up joining that. The original was back in 1940.
I was thinking the Green Hornet.
Green Hornet's also a good one.
Yeah, Green Hornet's good.
Number 9 is Wolverine. I think Wolverine could be a little higher. Wolverine's just an ultimate badass. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is the Flash. I think everybody wants to be super fast, so I get the Flash.
The quickness there.
7, the Incredible Hulk. Hulk smash.
That might be just a terrible thing to have to be the whole time. You just don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm always angry. Yeah. 6 is Iron Man.
I love that. Some Tony Stark.
That suit's just so badass.
Been very popular over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I think
it really took off.
Ramped up Iron Man.
Yeah.
Number 5, Captain America.
I'm a Roger Staubach fan. Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. Number 4, Wonder Woman. That lasso of truth, man.
I like this.
Is she back? I know she was big in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. She's back.
Yeah. She's back.
Linda Carter was, that was who played in the
80s. Thanks to Gal Gadot. Yeah. Honestly, with like the DC
movies.
The Invisible
Airplane is the best.
The first Wonder Woman is probably the best that they did out of those. Spider-Man coming in at number 3. Which, you did not like Spider-Man. Have you come around on Spider-Man?
Yeah, I didn't like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
It's fair.
Who did Spider-Man work for? Is that Perry White? Was he at the Daily Bugle? What was that?
Gosh.
Am I asking too many questions?
It wasn't Perry White. No, I know exactly who you're talking about. J.K. Simmons plays him, the character.
J.K.
Somebody's going to text this in. Yeah. Somebody's going to text this in.
Who is Perry White? He was part of somebody.
I don't know.
I think he was a Superman. He was Superman's boss.
Okay.
Perry
White
was.
Right. Yeah. That's the Daily Bugle.
That's the Daily Bugle. Yes. There you go.
Somebody please text in. J. Jonah Jameson. Thank
J.
you so much.
There we go.
Thank
Ross
you.
Boss.
Thank you, Ross. J. Jonah Jameson. That's there you right. Go. Number 2 is Superman.
I want pictures now. Get the Spider-Man guy. So take care of him.
Yeah. That's a menace right there. We got a vigilante. Number two is Superman. But number one, the most popular superhero in all of the world right now. And yes, my personal favorite, and others might crap on it, but Batman. You love me some Batman.
The Batman whole franchise, I think, has gotten a lot better. You know, with the introduction of Bane, and now you got the Penguin.
It's been so good. Dude, we are in danger, though. Because, like, we loved the Penguin, right? Mm-hmm. So he was supposed to, we were supposed to get more in the Batman 2.
Not coming back.
That movie is in danger of being canceled right now. It was supposed to be released this year. They still haven't even started filming it. And Matt Reeves, who's the director, is like, I don't want to wait around on this anymore. We're either doing this or not, because Robert Pattinson, who plays Batman, is doing so many other projects. Yeah. He said, if he's not available to film this year, I'm scrapping the thing and I'm going to do something else.
There keep being weird setbacks with the Spider-Verse thing as well. And I just saw my personal favorite superhero, Blade. There was going to be some sort of rekindling of that magic, but apparently that's been pushed back as well. If it ever happens.
Damn it. That sucks. Because the Batman was awesome.
My favorite Batman is the Derek Holland Batman, who peruses through children's hospitals day like today. I just saw his clip that he posted.
He does the eye black and everything.
Yeah, no, he leans all the way in. It was he looks incredible.
Yeah. Right on. Well, it's time now, speaking of incredible, for some best O of the weekend, Chief.
We had a sports slap for the ages this weekend, plus airball alley-oops and Little League walk-offs next year in the nation.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We'll talk Rangers, Stars, Cowboys draft coming up at 3 o'clock with you. Here's your Chief with the best of the weekend.
We'll get you to the sports slap here in just a moment, but we have to talk about the two craziest finishes of the sports weekend. Unfortunately, one involves our Texas Rangers, a comedy of errors here, Little League walk-off home run style. It's 2-2. It's the bottom of the ninth, and it's Mr. Ramos at the plate.
He swings, hits a dribbler, third base side, tough chance. Jackson barehands, throws wild, and throws it down the right field line. Ramos on his way to second base, and he will turn for third. Here's the long throw to third. He's safe at third. The ball gets away. He's headed for the plate, and he scores without a throw. And the Giants have won it on a walk-off Little League home run.
Ooh, he said it. He said the walk-off Little League home run. Eric Nadell, back-to-back weekends, meeting the moment for walk-offs. One was in our favor thanks to El Bombi. That was last week. And then what a difference 7 days can make.
Well, that was brilliant broadcasting, I think, from Eric. He was doing a tremendous job of, like, staving off what must be frustration and cynicism and sarcasm, just like, you know, in his Ranger bones, just aching to come out. He couldn't. He denied it, but he still managed to sneak in the dagger. He just slipped it in right there like a brilliant assassin that he is.
Bassick had something similar, like at the end. Like he just like gives you the analysis, and then right at the end, he's like, it's just something you don't see in the major leagues. You're like something about like surprised to see that in Major League Baseball.
That's tough.
This is number one on SportsCenter's Not Top 10 on Friday, right? Every Friday they crank it out. I don't believe anybody can do anything over the course of the next few days in sports to unseat this as the number one SportsCenter Not Top 10 play of the week. This is all-time MLB follies.
Yeah. It's tough because I didn't think bad defense would be something that would be costing this team games. I thought bullpen, you know, maybe fourth and fifth starter, especially after Gray and Bradford got hurt. And I guess I thought a little about the lineup, but I didn't think one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball.
It hurts.
Plenty of opportunities.
Plenty of opportunities. They hit the ball plenty yesterday, but couldn't really drive anybody home.
You get a leadoff triple from Jock Peterson, and it results in nothing.
A sprained ankle.
They get the bases loaded in games. They can't do anything with it. It's just it's ridiculous how they just can't get the timely hit with runners in scoring position.
Now, you had that as a crazy ending yesterday. How about over the weekend, the Denver Nuggets pulling off the airball alley-oop at the buzzer? Nikola Jokic to Aaron Gordon. And that thing, you slow that thing down, the ball was off his fingertips and in the hoop when the buzzer went off. It was clean, and it was hilarious because Nikola Jokic after the game's like, yeah, that was definitely not a pass. I was trying to get that bucket there.
Yeah.
I still I think I need a higher resolution TV or something, because when I look at that deal, I still can't tell. I mean, it must have been 0.001 seconds difference.
Yeah, no, very. I mean, it was very close, and it was on just my computer. I went back and saw the clip, and I just slowed it down multiple times and tried to see. And it's like, yeah, every time it shows the ball is just out of the fingertips as that thing's expiring.
What a great series! I mean, with that going on, and then you know, T-Wolves Lakers is amazing, and the drama with Pacers Bucks, like they're all trolling each other and trying to fight each other. It's amazing.
Bucks are done for now. Old Damian Lillard with the Achilles. That's super unfortunate.
Gosh, that sucks.
Maybe he can have a crazy recovery like he did from the blood clot. You know, they'd never seen a recovery like that. Maybe he can even beat Aaron Rodgers with the Achilles. But the Bucks are done for, man. Giannis could be on the move. That's what's exciting about that one.
Could be.
And that ending to the Lakers game yesterday was bad, dude. Bad for the Lakers.
Probably
for sure. The
Lakers probably get Giannis.
They blew a double-digit fourth-quarter lead. LeBron put up a bagel in the points in the fourth quarter. Edwards is bullying LeBron and going scorched. For 40-plus.
How much do you think that the Lakers are going to continue to put up with that coach? Seems like to me he's always kind of...
Oh, they love firing their coaches.
I mean, like he's always...
Because he yells at him so much?
Just constantly.
Yeah.
Well, the last... He did do it once in this series, and they rallied and won.
Sure. But it just seems like he is just constantly...
I think he's done a pretty damn good job there.
Okay, so I did want to get to the slap, and... Oh. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This is a UFL slap for the ages. Open hand.
We got a Battle Cat fan that got hit.
A Battle Cat.
The Battle Cats.
What are they called?
Fortunately, our Renegades were not involved.
No, but it's...
They're the Battle Hawks.
Battle Hawks.
Yeah, Battle Hawks. There's a cat. The Battle Cats. I think there's a cat there in the UFL somewhere.
Battle Hawk. I'm sorry. Battle Hawk.
This involves the Michigan Panthers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go.
And brother of one Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
His brother, Samson. I guess this is like right after the game. There was a fan that was leaning over, like sitting in the front row, basically, and leaning over and talking smack. And Nacua just hauls off and smacks the dog ass out of him. And I think Carter's got the video up on the fan cam right now, and you can see it. But it was just clear, open. They're talking face to face, and then boom, slap. And then he walks away. His teammate starts laughing and pointing at the guy who just got slapped. I mean, the whole thing is truly hilarious.
That's the best part of it, is the teammate laughing, and I'm like,
I got him.
I don't know. I wonder what the UFL, what's the ruling on this? I don't know. I haven't seen anything about UFL suspensions or anything like that. Maybe it's just, hey, dude, I was popping off. I probably deserved the slap, so I'm not really going to go as far as pressing any charges, but I'm sure this guy probably could.
Yeah.
It was.
He probably could have wanted to.
It was hilarious, man. And the pop on that, it was loud. Hmm.
I think yes, he'd probably get suspended a couple of games if it's the NFL or the NBA for slapping a fan who's sitting in the stands.
Absolutely. If this was like the NFL, this would be not okay.
Was actually Puka Nacua on like Sunday Night Football or something, this would be the biggest story going now. Move over Shador, make a place for the slapping Nacua. And we do have a slapping Nacua. It's just not Puka, and it's not the NFL. So I don't know. This will probably go relatively underreported, but one hell of a slap, no question. And that's way more disrespectful than just punching the guy. Just slapping him in the face.
Yeah, an open-handed slap probably.
Does less damage physically, but emotionally, you're like, dang.
I just kind of feel like a big word.
I just straight up got slapped like that.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Nationals over the weekend combining their fireworks night at the ballpark with pups in the park night?
Yeah, see, that's not a good play there. That's just not an awareness. They didn't have that plan.
Don't have any dog people in the promotions department, I assume.
Now
you know that's a bad idea, Chief, and you hate dogs.
Yeah, that's probably going a little far with it, but I'm not crazy about the idea of them. Nonetheless, when you take your dog to the park, all of a sudden there's fireworks, and they did throw up like a 20-minute warning of like, hey, just so you know, this is going to happen, so you might need to get your dog up out of here. But that just feels like one of those double promotional nights that doesn't need to intersect with each other.
Yeah, Bennett was telling me, Bennett fires the cannon, Smokey the cannon down at Texas, and they bring your dog to the park night. And Bennett's like, they told us, please don't fire the cannon. At least the university was thinking like, listen, we're going to score some runs, you're going to fire the cannon, and we don't need the dogs to like lose it. So they got the night off from having to fire the cannon.
Good. That's smart. Yeah, that's good awareness.
Good awareness.
I feel like that must have been a disaster. I haven't seen any clips or anything of just dogs barking like crazy in frustration. I mean, even on July 4th, you can't have a dog anywhere near what's going on because it usually gets ridiculous. And then I'll close it down with just a tip of the cap to one of the greatest American athletes and competitors that this world's ever seen, Joey Jaws.
The legend.
Buffalo Wild Wings is doing the all-you-can-eat wings again. So they threw him into the promotion, and there's a video. I'm not going to play it here, but there is a video of him hammering home 14-plus pounds of bone-in chicken wings.
That's amazing.
From Buffalo
Wild
Wings.
You were jealous, weren't you?
Whew. Yeah, I did.
Put
I did.
On
there,
a show.
There was a little bit of envy involved there, but he continues to impress. Like, this is a guy that's at the height of the sport, and he's still willing to go out there and put it all on the line.
Thank you, Chief. Hope everybody had a terrific weekend. We do Best of the Weekend every Monday at 2:40. We'll look at your top stories of the day. Let's get a snapshot of the Cowboys draft as a whole. What do some of the national grades say about the work the Cowboys did? Does he get a Broadus and Wolchuk thumbs up? Plus the latest on the veteran wide receiver the Cowboys are potentially closing in on. That's coming up next here in the Nation.